Should I give the quiz? Yes. Who remembers what the first commandment is? There you go. God's for. Second commandment. The graven images. Third. The Lord's name in vain. Fourth. Remember the Sabbath. And so today, we come to the fifth commandment, which is to honor your mother and father. And this commandment is in the midpoint of our study. Now, some of you are a little bit older, I realize that, and you may be wondering what this commandment means for you today. Your parents, they have already passed away. Your children are grown, and they have their own children. They've moved out. But this commandment is extremely important because it's a hinge or a turning point in the Ten Commandments themselves. Now, most scholars believe that when Moses was given the two tablets by God, that on the first tablet were the first four commandments, and on the second tablet were commandments 5 through 10. And to help us understand this, we can look in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 22, there we see Jesus being challenged by a group of attorneys, a group of lawyers, right? And they are asking, tell us which of these is the greatest commandments? And in Jesus' answer, we can see why the fifth commandment is a hinge commandment or a turning point commandment. Let me read to you. In Matthew 22, it says this, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the first four commandments taught us about our relationship with God. And we are to love the Lord and have no other gods. We are not to make any graven images, right? And that includes our mental images. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain. And then we are to follow His command to rest and refocus on God. Now, as we transition to the other tablet, we see that all the other commandments are directed at our relationship with others, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our co-workers. And God begins by starting with our parents. Why our parents? Well, because if we don't get this one right, we're not going to get the other ones right. Think about your parents. What did your parents do, or what do your parents do? Right? They work hard for you. They provide for you. They feed you. They care for you. They guided you. I call it one-sided love. They did these things not out of a sense of duty or obligation, but out of love. Parents are the first people to demonstrate to a child what the love of Christ looks like. It's a one-sided love. A love so powerful, so great that you would die for your child. Is there a man here that would not die for his child? Is there a woman here who would not die for their child? Just as Jesus died for you while you were yet a sinner. Parents are deserving of our honor. They're deserving of our love. And if we can't love them after all that they have done for us, then we're probably not going to be able to fulfill any of these other commandments which require us to love. You know, the last five commands are related to loving our neighbor. But we start by honoring our parents. Now, that's easy to understand if we had parents that are good parents, that were loving parents. But what if we had lousy parents? Right? Are they deserving of honor? Well, in the Hebrew, this word for honor, it means heavy or weighty. It's rarely used in that literal sense. It's this figurative term that's used a lot. We can think of it in the terms of prestige, right? Or position. It's something that we might assign to someone that has great wealth or powerful position in society. Think of the president. It's not the person, it's the office that has that authority. We automatically give them honor and respect because the position alone is the determining factor. Think of a judge in a courtroom. When a judge walks into a courtroom or leaves a courtroom, everybody stands. Why? It's to honor the position and honor the authority that that judge has. Our parents, regardless if they're good or bad, are due honor and reverence because of the authority that God has ordained through them. God ordained them to create you. And it's by His authority and His power that you were created. They are God's agents, and as such are deserving of honor. Let's move forward and talk about what honoring our parents does mean. I think one of the first things we think about when we say honor our parents is obedience. Right? In order for obedience to occur, the child must be under the authority of the parents. We first read of Jesus being under the authority of His earthly parents in Luke chapter 2. It says in Luke chapter 2, "Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject," that means obedient, "subject to them. But His mother kept all these things in her heart." And within this verse, we can learn something about authority and honor. Joseph knew that he was not the father, the biological father of Jesus. Jesus knew that Joseph was not his biological father. But Joseph did not dismiss the responsibility that he took when he married Mary. He knew that when he married her, that he was taking on the responsibility of raising that child. In the same light, the Bible does not say that Jesus was subject or obedient only to Mary, but to both. See, the honor that was due Mary and Joseph was not given because of some biological line, but because of the authority that God had given them. Both Mary and Joseph had authority over Jesus, and He paid honor to them both. And here God is giving us a universal rule for our conduct. That to every person whom God has placed in a position of authority over us should be rendered reverence and obedience and gratitude. The Apostle Paul speaks about obeying our parents when he writes in Ephesians. In Ephesians 6 he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He repeated this in his letter to the Colossian church as well. In Colossians 3, he states, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Teenagers, kids, listen. Listen. God has placed your parents, your step-parents, and your grandparents over you because they know more than you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. You don't know everything yet. So listen to what they say and do it. I understand that you may think you know more than your parents or your grandparents, but you're wrong. We know more. The older I get, the more I appreciate the wisdom that my parents and other people that are older than me have. When I was young, I would dismiss what my father said. I would argue that his ways were old and they're outdated. There's a better, faster way of doing things now, Dad. You don't know what you're talking about. Of course, I was stubborn. You know, I would do things my own way, and oftentimes what would happen is exactly what he said would happen. I was a foolish person. The Bible says a lot about the ways of a foolish son. One that does not honor his parents by listening and obeying. Proverbs says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of glutton shames his father." I don't know about the rest of you, but my teenage years were probably not my best years in the eyes of my parents. I had what some people might refer to as a rebellious streak. Well, mine was really a wide rebellious streak, and I'll talk to you about that later. But I did not honor my parents as I should have. I did not realize it at the time, but my rebellion was causing my parents tremendous grief, just as the proverb said. In fact, the behavior of a child is often reflected back on the parents. It's great if children are listening in the following directions. Every parent wants to hear, oh, what a wonderful child you have. But no parent wants to hear complaints about their child. But almost every time, we should not be looking at the child first, but looking at the parents. All right? What, as parents, have we failed to do? It's very interesting because, you know, as well as I do, with first children, you're very strict, aren't you? We're going to do things by the book, do everything just right by the time the second child comes along. Well, you know, a little more casual approach. Third child comes along, more casual still. I got a cousin who's got 12, 13 kids? Yeah. I'm telling you what, I've not met them all. But parents, or who we should be looking at first, parents that don't discipline their children are doing a great injustice to them. Children that are not disciplined are headed for disaster. It amazes me, but I see it over and over again. It seems that some parents are afraid of telling their children no or correcting their bad behavior. They let them eat poorly, let them watch whatever they want on TV, allow them to be smart alecks to each other and to other adults. And our prisons are full of people that never learn to be subject to or respect authority. It starts in childhood, and if children are not made to obey their parents, then they cannot function in a society where they must be subject to others in authority. So honor first has to do with obedience. Some of you may be thinking that your parents don't deserve that honor and obedience. They may not have been good parents. They may have left you when you were growing up. They may have drank too much. They may have beaten you. They may have ignored you. They may have done terrible things to you. But the honor that God says is due them is not tied to their performance as parents. It's a fundamental authority that is due them, merely by the position that God has given them. I think it's important to note that it's easier to obey than it is to honor. Right? We can hate and still obey. But you cannot both hate and honor at the same time. God is not calling us to be obedient only, but to be obedient in love. That means if you're still holding some anger and resentment in your heart towards your parents, you have to let that go. You have to lay that at the cross and seek forgiveness from Christ. See, when you're fully trusting in Christ, when you won't hate people for their past because you'll understand how much Christ has already forgiven you of your past. The second part of honoring your parents is something that we really don't associate quickly with in the Western world like they do in the Eastern world. And the emphasis of the word it placed is caring for your parents when they become unable to work due to their age. God is charging us with this commandment to care for our parents to the extent that we are able to when they grow old. I think this is an area I think we can improve in greatly. It's very common in other parts of the world to see a multi-generational house. A home where the children's and parents' roles almost reverse as the parents grow older. In the United States, the Amish do an excellent job of showing us this. Right? When the oldest child becomes an adult and gets married, the parents will build an addition onto the main house called a dotty house. And they'll move into that. And the oldest son will take over the main house and take over the farm work. But they don't dismiss the parents. They're still an integral part of the family. They're still cared for. But the responsibility and role start to reverse. And we look for at the Bible for support of this idea. We don't have to look any further than Christ. When Jesus hung on the cross, bearing the sins of his world, of this world, his mother was on his mind. Her welfare and her care were so important to Christ that in the midst of his agony, he ensured that his mother would be cared for. In John 19, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home." You know, many times our parents don't need our financial or physical help. In that case, all we have to do is to pick up the phone. Give them a call. Talk with them. If they live nearby, take some time off and go visit with them. If your parents are still living, honor them with your time, with your money, or whatever else is necessary. The last part of this verse is the promise. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Does this promise mean that we'll be guaranteed a long life if we honor our mothers and our fathers? No, it doesn't. Not every person that honors their parents will live to a ripe old age. Because the Bible makes clear that in addition to honoring your parents, there are other factors that have a bearing on the length of your life. The primary factor is this: that God sends some folks to this earth on short-term missions rather than long-term missions. The best example I can give you is Jesus. Right? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15 that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was the one perfect individual who ever lived on this earth. He was perfect in his relationship with his mother Mary and with his father Joseph. He honored them exactly as he should have. Yet even though he perfectly fulfilled the fifth commandment, he did not live a long life. In his case, he died in his prime at about 33 years of age. The reason is that God the Father had a work for Jesus to do that required that he die precisely when he did. Because it is God who ordains life. Let me give you another example. How about Billy Graham? Billy Graham was by all measures the most powerful witness for Christ in the 20th century. Here's some facts. 2.2 billion people is the estimated number who heard him preach. 215 million people attended live events and heard him preach in person. And 2.2 million is the estimated number of people at his crusades who responded to the invitation to become a Christian. God called Billy Graham to be a witness for him for 84 years. But that's exactly how long he wanted him to be a witness. So the time required for each person's God-appointed mission is the primary factor determining the length of our life. Let me conclude by emphasizing that all of God's commands are not only accompanied by rewards for those who keep them, but they also have penalties attached for breaking them. One of the most crucial commands is found in Acts. In chapter 17, it says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." God has commanded that we repent of our sins and believe the gospel. In fact, Mark records that those were Jesus' very first words. He says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. The Bible says that everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's also very clear that if you do not repent, if you intend instead depend on your own righteousness to get you to heaven, that you are in for a profound and eternal disappointment. Jesus says in John 3:36, "But he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." See, parents are due honor because of the authority and position that God has given them. Our relationship with others begins with our relationship to our parents. But more important than that is your relationship with God. If you've never repented of your sins, never trusted in Christ's atoning death, I pray that you will. You'll never be able to live out all of these commandments. You'll never succeed in living what we're about to go through. Commandments 6 through 10 are so demanding. And you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it if you come here on Sundays. You can only do it if you're trusting on Christ, if you're trusting on His power and His authority and His life. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house to teach through this fifth commandment to honor our parents. Lord, we've all fallen short of this at some point in our lives. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to call my parents today. We pray for those who aren't able to do that anymore. Father, would you just touch them now. Give them that reassurance that they are loved. Give them the reassurance that their sins are forgiven. Father, I pray for those that are here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. They hear these words and feel the conviction. Father, would you draw them to you? Cause them to cry out to you. Have them turn from their sins. Have them ask you to save them. Father, we love you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Our last hymn is number 367.